Afghanistan's identity was forged through centuries of resistance to foreign invaders. From Alexander the Great to the British Empire and Soviet forces, Afghans have fiercely protected their independence. The celebrated epic Hatak Nama commemorates victories against infidels, while Ahmad Shah Durrani, who founded modern Afghanistan in 1747, explicitly warned his son never to give foreigners any rights and way in Afghan territory, advice that would prove prophetic. This resistance identity became intertwined with Islam, particularly the concepts of unity under God and defensive jihad against non-believers. Unlike Western perceptions of jihad as terrorism, Afghans historically viewed it as legitimate defense of their territory and way of life. These twin pillars, resistance to foreign domination and Islamic devotion, helped unite Afghanistan's diverse ethnic groups during times of external threat. Beneath this unifying framework, tribal identity remained powerful. Pashtuns organized around complex tribal structures and codes like Pashtunwali, while Tajiks and Hazaras identified more with regional communities. The Gilzai-Durrani rivalry shaped centuries of Afghan politics, with Durranis maintaining royal authority until 1978, before Gilzai leaders emerged dominant in both communist and Taliban regimes. Imagine a land where history isn't just studied but lived, where every mountain pass and village square holds stories of resistance against outsiders. This is the Afghanistan that America would encounter after 9/11, a place where foreign powers are eventually humbled, regardless of their military might or noble intentions. After Soviet withdrawal in 1989, Afghanistan descended into civil war, with rival warlords turning Kabul into a battleground where rocket fire killed 25,000 civilians. The Taliban emerged in 1994 under Mullah Muhammad Omar, promising Islamic law and stability. Composed mainly of young religious students from Pakistani refugee camps, they conquered most of Afghanistan except territory held by Ahmed Shah Massoud, who was assassinated by Al-Qaeda days before 9/11. The September 11 attacks made Afghanistan America's primary security concern. Though Afghans weren't the attackers, the country's instability had created a haven for extremism. Bin Laden deliberately provoked America, hoping to draw it into a prolonged war. When President Bush demanded Bin Laden's surrender, Mullah Omar refused, despite some Taliban members and religious scholars advising cooperation. He cited Afghan hospitality traditions and claimed Bin Laden's innocence. The U.S. response combined CIA teams and special forces with Northern Alliance fighters. After breaking through at Mazar-e-Sharif on November 9, Taliban control swiftly collapsed, ending their regime within weeks. After the Taliban's defeat and Karzai's selection as interim president, Afghanistan saw its first peace in decades. This moment presented a chance for transformation, but Bush's administration became distracted by Iraq and grew overconfident. Though Bush called Afghanistan the ultimate nation-building mission, contradicting his campaign stance, his commitment remained tepid. Defense Secretary Rumsfeld actively opposed nation-building, undermining Bush's Marshall Plan rhetoric. The 2001 Bonn Agreement installed Karzai and Tajik leaders but excluded the Taliban. Between 2002 to 2004, Taliban delegations sought reconciliation with Karzai. When former Taliban minister Mutawakkil proposed creating a pro-Karzai faction, Vice President Cheney dismissed it, declaring all Taliban were bad. The failure to include the Taliban politically and build an effective army became America's major missteps. No serious reconciliation attempts occurred until Obama's presidency, squandering early opportunities that could have altered the war's course. From 2002 to 2005, Afghanistan's apparent peace masked the Taliban's methodical rebuilding. U.S. military missteps, including civilian casualties during night raids and tribal conflicts, gradually increased popular support for the Taliban's return. The group quietly reorganized in Pakistan's tribal areas, establishing training camps, recruiting fighters, and building sophisticated funding networks through opium trade and foreign donations. U.S. leadership, preoccupied with Iraq, overlooked these developments. Mullah Omar's February 2003 letter calling for jihad against the U.S. marked the movement's formal revival. He established the Quetta Shura, a leadership council directing military operations and strategy from Pakistan's safe havens. Field Commander Mullah Dadullah Lang transformed Taliban capabilities through sophisticated training camps and Iraqi insurgent connections. He notably introduced suicide bombing, previously considered un-Islamic, which became a devastating tactical weapon. By early 2009, the Taliban's three-year control of Helmand Province demonstrated their territorial dominance, threatening provincial capitals while securing revenue through opium production and local taxation. The deteriorating military situation prompted America's most controversial decision, the 2009 surge, a comprehensive military, political, and economic push to reverse declining progress. General Stanley McChrystal arrived to implement counterinsurgency tactics, prioritizing civilian protection by restricting airstrikes, prohibiting mosque entry, and shifting home searches to Afghan forces. President Obama authorized 30,000 additional troops to counter Al-Qaeda and the Taliban while strengthening Afghan forces, setting July 2011 for withdrawal, choosing a time-limited approach over extended counterinsurgency. The surge focused on southern Afghanistan, launching Operation Mosh-Tarak in February 2010. Despite tactical successes, it failed strategically. Even exceptional military leadership couldn't overcome Taliban resilience or justify the costs. A core paradox persisted. How could America succeed against an enemy committed to endless fighting while operating under a fixed timeline? By 2015, U.S. presence had reduced to 9,800 troops at six bases. Obama's policy restricted forces to training, advising, and limited counterterrorism, denying Afghan forces crucial air support. That September, Taliban's capture of Kunduz, though temporary, signaled their rising power. Trump, despite initial withdrawal instincts, increased troops to 14,000 in 2017 after intelligence briefings warned of terrorist threats. Peace talks gained traction by 2018, culminating in the February 2020 Doha Agreement, which outlined a 14-month U.S. withdrawal timeline and Taliban security commitments. In 2021, Biden inherited the choice between honoring the withdrawal deadline amid stalled talks or continuing the war. On April 14th, he announced complete withdrawal by September 11th. The war's toll was immense. 2,488 U.S. deaths, 20,722 wounded. Afghan losses were catastrophic, roughly 65,000 security forces killed and hundreds of thousands of civilian casualties. Taliban losses likely exceeded 100,000. The conflict displaced countless civilians and became America's longest war at nearly 20 years. America's war in Afghanistan reveals hard truths about military intervention. While the U.S. eliminated bin Laden and prevented homeland attacks, it couldn't defeat the Taliban and became mired in a war that fueled extremism. The Taliban resonated with many Afghans through Islamic rule and anti-occupation stance. Government forces, despite superior numbers and equipment, couldn't match Taliban fighters' religious conviction due to their alliance with foreign infidels. Reconstruction brought progress. Paved roads, schools, clinics, press freedom, and women's rights improved education and life expectancy. Yet these gains came at enormous human cost, with uncertain permanence. Afghan civilians bore the greatest burden. U.S. intervention pursuing counterterrorism reignited civil war, prolonging conflict that might have resolved sooner without foreign involvement. Afghanistan proves military power cannot transform deeply rooted cultural values. Despite our intentions, we cannot impose our vision of progress. the Graveyard of Empires claims another victim, leaving us to question if this lesson will finally stick.